So how many of you, your favorite part of this holiday season is singing the carols? How many of you think that all the hymns that are inside of these hymnals that we hold dearly to are written by deeply committed Christians that have given their lives to penning words? I might be raining down on your parade of that today. My friend Scott Otis once told me that if God needs to use an atheist to do his work, he will use an atheist to do his work. The song that, or the hymn that we're going to talk about today is O Holy Night. How many of you know? Is that one of your favorites? I love that hymn. This hymn was written in the mid-1800s. And it was written by a Frenchman, Placide Capot. And he was a wine merchant and a poet. And he was asked by this priest to write a poem to the birth story that's found in Luke. Placide was not a Christian. He would actually be well described as a hellraiser. When the Catholic Church figured this out several years later, they worked very hard at eliminating this hymn from their hymnals because they didn't like the idea that an atheist would write a song in our hymnal. In 1906, this 33-year-old professor, Reginald Fessenden, put together what we have as our AM radio. And he made the first ever broadcast over the AM radio waves. And in that broadcast, he read the birth story that is found in Luke. Can you imagine Reginald saying, "The child to be born will be holy," as we find in Luke 1, verse 35. "He will be called Son of God." He would have gone on. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. And then Reginald picked up his violin, and he played, and he sang, "O Holy Night." You can imagine what it would be like to have been there on that first holy night when Christ was born. Although, as I've preached before, this manger scene that many of us hold on dearly to. Little animals looking at Jesus. The piece of what we depict as the birthplace of Jesus doesn't really do justice. And in fact, it kind of gives us a disservice of what it actually would have been like. Most of these manger scenes depict Mary as an older woman, more in adulthood, but the reality is she was just a teenager. She traveled days before giving birth for between 80 and 120 miles, not by car, but walking by donkey. She arrived at probably her relative's home, but they didn't have room for her inside. So she actually gave place. Now, theologians differ on this. She either gave birth into what people would call the stable, which would have probably been like the first floor of a two-story home, but that's just where the baby animals were kept for safety's sake. Or she could have been born in something that was more like a cave, where she would have been protected by the elements and predators. And then there's this song, O Holy Night. And inside of this song that we hold so dearly to is this phrase that I want to call out to you now. The phrase that spoke to me in this is, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." A weary world. That kind of describes many of us in the world today, doesn't it? We're weary. We're tired. We've got problems. We're going through storms. We don't feel like we can get through this season. that should be a season of praise. The difficult thing about this time of year is for those people that don't have a great life going on, we get into a deep depression. And sometimes people just can't dig themselves out of that depression. And so the suicide rate goes up. Problems get harder. It's all we focus on is the difficulties, the problems in the world. We forget that for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. This song says there's so much about this hope for the new day. This hope that Christ is the only thing that can deliver in our next day. This hope in Christ that changes everything and offers us our needs. A day with Christ can change anything when the weary world is in front of us and all around us, and that's what's bringing us down. So what does a pastor do when we come into this time of year and it seems like all we do is preach the same story year after year, and I don't know how to bring emphasis to it after several years, and many of you have heard several pastors share the same story. What I do is I go back to the Old Testament. After the fall of Jerusalem, about the year 586 BC, the prophet Jeremiah wrote this in Lamentations chapter 3. I can't help but remember, and I am depressed. I call all this to mind. Therefore, I will wait. He remembers, and he has hope. He goes on, certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. Certainly God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning. And then Jeremiah kind of loses himself, and he starts talking to God, and he's no longer talking about God. He says this, great is your faithfulness. I think the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the person who seeks him. It's good to wait in silence for the Lord's deliverance. The Lord is our hope. In the new day. The Lord is our hope. In the new light. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. Now I want to share with you three things that I feel are truth about what a day with Christ will bring. A new and glorious morning with Christ brings this, exactly what you need. I said need, not want. Sometimes we get that confused. We want so much in this world. We want so much in our lives. And we confuse that. We expect God to give us our wants. But the promise is that he gives us our needs. Sometimes we get so mixed up with the marketing of the world. We need this for Christmas. We need to give this to our loved ones. And we lose focus on that Christ brings our needs. As I read in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24, I think the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll wait for him. It reminds me of the Old Testament stories about manna. Remember when God rescued the Israelites and he fed them, he gave them manna? And that's all they had to eat, and it would rain down on them, and they'd have enough, their needs for the day would be filled, and they were told to not store that, because if they stored it would rot away. Extra manna rots away, and I think that's where we fall in line with God, as we when we go to God in our prayers, we want and want and want, and God's taking care of our needs, but we still want more, and we want to store up more. But the truth is like manna, it sometimes rots away. And Jesus teaches us to pray to give us our daily bread. In the Lord's Prayer, we're not saying, God, give us the bread that we need for the rest of the year. It's provide for us daily. Give to us what our needs are now. We'll turn to you when the needs are different. Just continue to give our needs. Don't give us so much that we forget about you and we start thinking it's of ourselves. Just take care of our needs. And God is gracious and he gives us what our needs are. When our marriages are falling apart, God will take care of our needs. When we're down and we're lost and the storms of our life are just beating us down, God will give us joy. When we're weak, when we don't feel like we can do anything else, we don't have strength, God gives us our strength. When we feel like we're lost, when we've lost our way, when we're not on the path that God is calling us to be on, he finds us and he brings us back. When we're hurt, and those pains in life just take over, he gives us comfort. The second thing a new day with Christ gives us, the hope to keep going. The thrill of hope in a weary world. Lamentation speaks of this too. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the person who seeks him. Someone once said this: people can live for 40 days without food. People can live for 8 days without water. We believe that you can live for 4 days without oxygen. But a person can only live for seconds without hope. I see people putting their hope in the wrong places every day. We put our hope in what marketing tells us we need for gifts to receive and to give. We put our hope in a stock market that sometimes crashes. We put our hope in our job and making that the focus of all of our energies. We put our hope in surrounding ourselves with the wrong people. When the reality is our only hope should be placed in him. Scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let's hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promises is reliable. We need to grab a hold and never let go of our hope that we have in Christ. We need to let go of our fears. We need to let go of our storms. We need to let go of our hurt, of our struggles, of our pain. We need to let go of these things that keep our hope from Christ. We need to place all of our hope in our Savior. We need to hold on to that hope, no matter what we're going through. So don't lose hope. Don't give up. There's a new day coming, a new morn where Christ is born. A new day in Christ is coming. A new day in Christ can change everything. It gives us new meaning, new life, new hope. A new day in Christ also brings this: the hope, or the help you're seeking. Lamentation says, it's good to wait in silence for the Lord's deliverance. That's the hard thing, isn't it? Sometimes we have to wait. I know for me, I want what I want, and I want it right now. I put my hope in him, but I hope he gives it to me now. I make these plans that control the situation. And those plans often fall apart. And I'm reminded that I have to wait. Sometimes we need to be saved from a situation so that we can keep our hope in Christ. It's amazing what one day with Jesus can do. Remember the story of Lazarus? Lazarus was Jesus' friend. He was dead for 4 days. I love the way the King James Bible described this. They said the King James Bible says that, you know, he's dead for 4 days. He stinketh. There's power in that word, stinketh, isn't there? Jesus raised the man that stinketh from the dead. Remember the woman that suffered from bleeding for about 12 years? She was healed when she just touched the hem of his clothing. Or how about that 38-year-old man that couldn't walk and he was by the pool and Jesus told him to pick up his mat and walk? The hope. And the things that only Jesus can do. Some of us, we feel stuck in this weary world. We feel stuck in the storms that we're going through. We feel stuck because we've put our hope in the wrong things. Sometimes we realize that we've done that and we ask ourselves once again, why? Why do we continue to do these things when we know where the true hope lies? We're reminded that it's an amazing thing to have one more day with Jesus giving us the hope of our lives. We can have the hope that we have because Jesus was born. We can have the hope come alive in us when we remember that God so loved us that he sent his Son not to judge us or condemn us, but to give us hope. A new day with Christ can give you the hope that you're seeking because there's a new day coming. Paul wrote this to the Romans, or in Romans chapter 13. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. The night is almost over, and the day is near. The night is almost over, and the day is almost here. The darkness is almost over. The struggles, the storms, the life things getting us down, they're almost done. Because the sun, S-O-N, is almost here. The Son of God is risen. Just like the S-U-N, sun, rises in the morning and gives us new hope because it's another day that we can have Christ in our lives. It's another day and we can walk hand in hand with our Lord and Savior. It's another day in which we can sing that hymn to Jesus. The thrill of hope in the weary world. And we rejoice. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn and we fall on our knees. We fall on our knees in the hope and praise. So we have Christmas. For some of us, Christmas is the most joyful time of year. It's when we see our Lord and Savior all around us because society lets us put pictures on the sidewalks, on the buildings, in the stores. Sometimes we're allowed to say Merry Christmas, and other times people wish you'd say Happy Holidays. We have hope because Christ is born. For some of us, that's all we need to get from Christmas to Christmas because that's when we open up the box of hope. But unfortunately, there's other people that don't see that. There's people that have put their hope in the wrong places. There's people that continue to question God, to wonder if God really exists, to wonder if Jesus really came, if he was really the Son of God, or maybe just a good person. And they question these things, and they're not getting the answers. And they're living in the darkness. For some people, this is the worst time of year because the problems of our life are so strong and they're so straight in front of us that we can't take our focus off of them. And we just let that get us down, and it bothers us that it's snowing and some of us can't get up driveways to visit our friends, and that sometimes the darkness doesn't come because the snowstorm never stops, and we get ourselves down. And we don't know how to pick ourselves up. I hate to assure you of this, but I really can. I can assure you that in your life, you've got people that feel that way. They've lost hope. They've lost what it means to focus on a Savior in this time of year, and they're stuck, they're trapped in the darkness. And the darkness of this world is holding them back. And the reality is I think that God is calling us in hope to reach out. And I don't know what the answer is for each of these people's lives, but I know that each and every one of you can offer the answer. And you might not even know the question, but God will give you the answer. To just allow hope to come into their hearts and their lives. To allow the hope of a Savior being born. A Savior that's going to come again. A Savior that's prepared rooms for us. We need this to be the best time of year for those that have lost hope. Be willing to do whatever it takes to give them a piece of our hope. If God can use an atheist to write a hymn that is so near and dear to us, can you imagine what God can do with you, a Christian? Somebody that has hope. A thrill of hope in the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Will you fall on your knees and pray with me? Oh, holy Lord. On this new day, we come to you. We come to you that you might give us hope when we've lost hope. We come to you that you might give us strength to be the hope to share our hope with others, that they might place their hope and trust in you. That you would come into our lives as we have need, and the lives of others as they have need, when we seem like we're trapped in the darkness of this world. Bring us light that only your Son can provide. God, I pray that each and every one of us can open up our eyes to this light being born, the light of our Savior, the light of the world, and place our hope in you. That we might bring that light out into the world and not just keep it to ourselves, but give it as a gift to others. That they too might place their hope in you. Lord, I pray that we each take a step in our lives. As we look for the perfect gift to give our loved ones, the perfect gift is right before us, the hope, the trust, the peace, the joy that placing our lives in your arms can bring. So God, if there's anyone among us that feels like we're trapped in this darkness, God, I pray that your light come into their lives. Get them out of that darkness. Bring them into your shining light, into your open arms. Allow us to be what they need. Allow us to be the answer to their prayers. Allow us to show them what true hope is. Lord, I pray that for those of us that celebrate this time of year with joy that we just can't contain, help us to show our hope to the world that they too might know that we are Christians by our love and by our hope that you're going to come back in our lifetime. Living today as if it might be our last because our Savior will return. Hoping for tomorrow to be in your heaven, worshiping and praising you for eternity. It's an amazing thing that your light brings in the hope of a new day dawn. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.